Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We've been talking about this new variant B.... It's been identified in South Africa. It's getting a new name today. We're asking you for suggestions. Lots and lots of suggestions coming from you. I suggested Eskom, other people calling, saying we should call it Nutnik or Gayavek. Lots of blixums and all sorts. We've gone into basically Yiddish and Afrikaans. Professor Barry Shub, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. How are you doing?
I don't know. When I started reading this, seeing this news yesterday, my heart sank. But I guess this is what we've been told over and over again, that this is going to happen if we don't get vaccinated and if we're not careful.
Yeah. Now, look, it has taken us by surprise. I mean, this virus keeps on taking us by surprise. You know, we were really anticipating the fourth wave, I don't know, end of December, beginning of January. This is much, much earlier than what we thought. And this variant, of course, is a brand new variant. It's unrelated to any of the other variants, not an evolution from any of those other variants. This has come off the evolutionary tree, if I might say, on the radio show, a separate tree, completely different to other variants. And the problem is, it's got a lot of rather sinister looking mutations, and this is really what's kind of concerning us, what is worrying us.
So what are the main concerns when you look at this and you mention the word worry? What are those things?
Okay, first of all, it's got many more mutations than any of the other viruses. To give you some idea, it's got over 30 mutations, in other words, changes, in particularly that part of the virus which the virus needs to infect the cells. You know, to make it a little bit more technical. To give you some idea, the Delta, which we've been used to up to now, has got something like 16 mutations. It's got many more. But more importantly, it's got mutations in critical sites. These are sites which we know from previous studies are related to, first of all, transmissibility. In other words, how infectious it is, how contagious it is, and also how it's going to escape from the vaccine. What you call the vaccine escape mutations. So this combination is a bad combination. Now, this is, of course, only on a kind of virological or laboratory side. The actual, how it's really going to behave is going to be in two steps. First of all, they're going to do laboratory tests to see, in fact, is it escaping the vaccine neutralizing antibodies? Those are laboratory tests which are currently underway. And hopefully we'll have some indication of that early next week or maybe even on the weekend. And then more importantly, how transmissible it is. And that really is going to be how we kind of observe how it's going to be expanding in the population. So far there has been quite a steep uptick, mainly in Gauteng.
Numbers, you know, when we've gone from a couple of hundred to 1,000 to 2,400 plus in days is quite staggering.
Yeah, that is worrying. But, you know, I think that in itself may or may not be related to the variant. We can't
say that's related to
the variant. You know, these outbreaks do have the steep trajectory in the upward part of the curve. We've seen it in the third wave and the second wave. That, I think, is really related to behavior, to human behavior. You know, it started off as a super spreading event in with the University of Technology in Pretoria. And you know, you kind of get these kind of clusters and then it expands into the population. Now, whether that's related to the variant, I doubt it. You know, is the variant driving this? I think more likely the human behavior is driving it at this stage.
So when we read yesterday, and I'm sure the numbers are much higher, that there were 22 cases of the new variant identified, I'm sure it's much higher now. Do they test every single case to see if it's a new variant? How does it work?
Okay, the way it works, there are six laboratories around the country which are equipped to do what we call genomic surveillance. Now, they get specimens which are sent in. It's a sample of specimens. It comes from both the public sector and the private sector laboratories. They send their specimens to these laboratories, and they do what's called genomic surveillance. They kind of do a study. They sequence the genome, and they look for these mutations. And that's an ongoing process. virus. Now, basically, up to now, they've looked at something like, you know, I'm talking right from the beginning of the pandemic, about 12,000, 13,000, I think now, specimens. So they give you some idea of the kind of volume. These are quite sophisticated tests, expensive tests, and they're not overnight tests. It takes about a couple of days to do these tests. But we've got a very sophisticated, on world-class standard, sophisticated laboratory surveillance network. We're actually one of the best in the world, which maybe is to our bit of our disadvantage because we pick up these.
Yeah,
we've
discussed this before, because every time we identify something because we're sophisticated, they stop us traveling everywhere.
I know. That's one of the kind of side effects of it. But, and you know, there's a worldwide network, which submits all these to a central repository in the States. They do all the confirmations and then they assign it. They said, is this a variant of interest? Or is it a variant of concern? You were talking about the names. The names, the WHO gives them Greek letters. So I'm sorry about the other suggestions, but it's going to come from the WHO.
Yeah.
They'll give it a Greek letter.
Right.
You know, we had the alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and so on.
So that's
I don't know
where we're
on
at.
The Greek alphabet, but we may run out of letters.
Oy, that would be just terrible. A lot of people asking, do you think that, we'll still be able to go on holiday locally?
I don't think there's going to be a travel ban, but I really, you know, this is a governmental decision. It doesn't come from our advisory at all. I think they will need to do some kind of restrictions. I don't think they can, you know, let us stay on this level one. But I doubt whether there'll be a travel ban. But on the other hand, if you look at the epidemiology, this is mainly focused in Gauteng. There's also a bit now gone into KZN. But not the Western Cape to any significant extent. So, you know, it may well be, but I think economically it's going to be horrendous to try and do something like that.
I tend to agree. In terms of people's own behavior, going to church or synagogue, mosque, whatever that would be, people were starting to have functions and things like that. Would you caution people to maybe only go where necessary or not go or go, but just be careful? What's your thinking on this?
Yeah, this is a difficult one, Howard, because, you know, people, you know, we do need the kind of goodwill of people, but I think people do need to understand that we're talking about a serious disease. And unfortunately, we landed with a rapidly expanding epidemic at the moment. So it's just really an appeal to people to be responsible. You know, wearing a mask is a very good a preventive measure. We know that wearing a mask properly over the nose and the mouth, and you go into the street, you go into and the restaurants, saying, well, obviously the restaurants you can't eat with a mask, but I mean, you know, people are still having these functions, and these functions can degenerate into super spreading events. This is what happened, in fact, in Pretoria. That started it off. You know, to have something like rage, I think, is crazy. I don't know how they've kind of allowed that.
I can't imagine that
should be banned.
100%.
And, you know, similar large, you know, this is the problem with the end of the year now. There are the office parties. There are end of the year parties. I think there are also going to be a lot more functions, you know, engagements and weddings and so on. And, you know, it's a problem. You know, people do need to kind of realize that even if they themselves are not vulnerable to serious disease because they're young and they're fit and so on. But I must tell you, just in parentheses, and I think Anton will kind of confirm it, we are seeing more and more sick people in and without comorbidities in the younger age groups. So that's also cautionary. But also they can be a reservoir to spread to people who are vulnerable.
Yes.
So really people do need to kind of continue. Unfortunately, I know that it's been going on for a long time, but people must continue with these infection prevention measures. It's essential.
Absolutely right. And if you're not vaccinated, I don't even want to hear it. Just go and get vaccinated and take your 12 to 18 year old as well. Just get them vaccinated. They don't need to get sick. What is the value in that? I so don't understand it. Professor Barry Shoup, thank you as always for making yourself available, for chatting to us and bringing us the latest information. It's about to go 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Your reaction, please, 34519 or 061-895-1019. Max CG says we should call it the Mkize virus. C says just call it super duper. It's 7:30. Good morning.